Blog Talk Radio.
The 2013 CONCACAF Gold Cup Post Game Show.
Hello, everyone. Into second half stoppage time. 2 minutes of four are about to elapse. The USA with a 1-0 lead at the moment. The ball with Eddie Johnson. He gets fouled. The U.S. will get a free kick along with Earl Reed. Carter Krishnar will join us later. But right now, Earl, the U.S. with a 1-0 lead on a Breck Shea goal. And it's been tight, tight, tight. Jurgen Klinsmann on his way downstairs as it looks like they're going to get ready for a trophy presentation. We're in the third of four of stoppage time here in the second half. Your observations of this match?
It's been a very difficult match, you know, for the U.S. Panama really just played a lot of defense in this match, really was organized, really tried to counter, but they the U.S. did really well to limit the opportunities that Panama had on the counter. And, U.S. got that goal, like you said, on actually Parkhurst would have scored the goal probably if Shea would have touched it in, because Donovan had faked out the keeper. He tried to shoot it and missed, but just a very cagey match from Panama trying to play it the best way they could. And, took a long time for the United States to get that goal.
Absolutely. Actually, I'll be honest with you. I didn't know if Shea touched it or not. All I know was the ball was rolling all the way to the goal line. It looked like it was going to go in anyway. On replay, Shea did sweep it in after Donovan did a swing and miss. So, obviously, it is Breck Shea's goal, second in the Gold Cup. And you have to say, Earl, that for the U.S., they really needed that. They really, really needed that tally, because I had a funny feeling this was going to go into extra time. There's still plenty of time here. They're in the final of four. The referee blows the whistle. It's all over. The United States, under Jurgen Klinsmann, have won the 2013 CONCACAF Gold Cup. They defeat Panama by a final of a goal to nil, and they have won their fifth confederational title. Amazing things at Soldier Field in Chicago, Illinois. It was Breck Shea with the game-winning goal in this matchup. The coaches shaking each other's hands. Here comes Klinsmann. He's punching his fist in the air, and he joins Bruce Arena as the two American coaches in this Gold Cup final to be suspended for the final, and they still win the championship, Earl. Fantastic scenes in Chicago.
Yes, it's been a great, great final, and, it was a little tough to watch at times because, like you said, But just a really great display from the U.S., being able to stay composed during, a tough match. Very difficult. Again, the referees, I think, didn't do them any favors. Panama was very, very a tough team to play, like the foul. I don't believe Panama was given they might have been given a yellow there at the end in tandem in that last run, I think, with Shea and the other guy. But, just a great performance from them. Just kept their composure. Didn't get goaded into anything stupid, although Johnson had a moment there. But, yeah, just and they finally got the goal and played some solid defense to see out the game when they really needed to.
Absolutely. And you have to say, give credit to Panama. They came in with a game plan. They came in there looking, let's be honest, they bunkered. Look at that. Landon Donovan, Blas Perez, Landon Donovan shaking hands with all of the players on the Panamanian national team. They gave everything to try and become the first Central American country in this confederation to win the CONCACAF Gold Cup. And boy, oh boy, let me tell you, it's just been unbelievable what's been happening here. It's just been unbelievable how this entire situation has come full circle for the U.S. And I got to tell you, Earl, it's absolutely fantastic. What a class of sportsmanship by Landon Donovan.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it's tough for Panama. I mean, it's they were the underdog, and I think it you look at the size of the two countries involved in this match. And, I mean, obviously Panama is at quite a disadvantage when it comes to that with the resources available between the two countries. But, they really made a go of it. They didn't play the most attacking match in the world. But then again, I think against a team like the United States, if you go all out, you're liable to get taken to the cleaners like some of the other teams in this tournament did once they tried to press for goals. So Panama, great match. They have Perez. I'm surprised he didn't have more opportunities. I think the defense took care of business for the U.S. when they needed to. Midfield did really well in stopping a lot of the breaks that were liable to happen when you try to attack against a team that has that kind of speed, and when they get bunkered in there. The midfield and also the defense both did pretty good jobs and limited Panama to just a select few really solid opportunities throughout this game.
Absolutely. Joining us now is Kartik Krishnayer. And Kartik, the United States, just like against Costa Rica in their last group match, a tough matchup against one of the teams that are going to have to face again in World Cup qualifying. But give credit to both the U.S. and Panama. I have to say, this was a fantastic final of CONCACAF's Gold Cup.
Well, I guess it was a fantastic final to a certain extent. I mean, I think the thing that was disappointing from the U.S. perspective is that we weren't able to break down Panama. We really ran out of ideas in the final third. Only had two shots on target the entire match. And Pinedo... Pinedo wasn't tested, and Panama on their side stayed very well organized, kept a good shape, and but really didn't push the initiative until after the U.S. Scored the goal. So I expected more given Panama's ability to counterattack from them. So it was I think the atmosphere was very good at Soldier Field, but the actual final itself, the actual gameplay was poor, if you ask me.
No, that's fine. I mean, listen, I can definitely agree with you there because, Panama, it seems if they were looking for the counter, it didn't happen. But, the possibility is the game plan was probably to force extra time and or penalties. That's what it looked like, Kartik.
Yeah, that's true. And I think maybe De La Valdez came thinking that he would get a couple chances off of set pieces, which they had, actually. Panama just didn't do very well with their set pieces and play for extra time. And I guess that basically they almost got there because the United States, as I said, two shots on target, which is it's just not going to cut it at any kind of high-level football internationally. Lack of creativity in the midfield. Guys not running in the channels, guys not finding space. Some of these guys haven't played together very much. I think Bedoya, who got introduced as a starter in this match, was particularly poor on the right side of the United States attack. But I just thought it was pretty poor in general.
Yeah, that's probably understandable. I mean, you're expecting the USA to break them down all the way through. But, Earl, let me ask you this. With Klinsmann not being on the field and on the bench, I should say, do you think maybe that hampered the way the U.S. was playing in this game a little bit? Do you think maybe not having Klinsmann on the bench because he was suspended, maybe we didn't see more than just one go into the net?
Well, you know, I don't know. I mean, definitely Klinsmann is more animated and more vocal than what Herzog was along the sideline in this one. You know, I think the change that I would have thought may have worked better in this match, and actually got thrown out of whack when Stuart Holden got injured, was I would have thought maybe if you brought in Mix Discarood for either Bedoya or Corona and have him sit ahead of Beckerman and Holden, you know, you might have had more of this 4-2-3-1 that may have played, you know, a little bit better. You have a guy closer to goal who can create and kind of get in between the two lines. I thought it was very, you know, very open, but, you know, I really think that Donovan didn't do enough coming back in order to connect the dots. And, you know, and neither Corona nor Bedoya really looked comfortable being able to do anything to link the play. And so, you know, you really almost needed someone who could do that. But I was looking through the roster, and there was nobody on the roster who really fit that role of a second defensive midfielder once Holden went down with the injury. So, you know, I guess Omar Gonzalez, you might have thought, could have come in and done that, or you could push another defender into a defensive mid role. But, I didn't think that I would have thought maybe a shape change might have helped in this situation where they just had trouble, you know, getting the ball into the forward's feet to where they might be able to take a shot.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
I
agree with Earl on that. I think that might have been the change that would have unlocked the Panamanian defense, is to get Discarood on for either Corona or Bedoya had Holden not gotten hurt, not gotten injured. I thought Landon Donovan was really poor in this game. I know maybe I'm hypercritical of him, but I thought he had a very poor game. He played some of the wrong balls. He didn't waste his balls necessarily correctly. Obviously, he should have scored a goal, which ended up going to Breck Shea. If Donovan connected with that cleanly, he would have scored, but he didn't connect with it cleanly. We have seen this from Landon Donovan in big games before. I want to kind of get everybody off of this Landon Donovan love test, so the U.S. needs him so badly, for a minute here. We have seen him in the biggest matches the U.S. has played over the course of the last decade often have games like this. Everyone remembers the goal against Algeria, but prior to that, in that World Cup, he had been very poor. Michael Bradley, Clint Dempsey, much more influential for the States. I think today, you know, Eddie Johnson had the horrific miss, but I thought he was very good. I thought Shea, when he came on, had a lot of influence on the match. And I thought Kyle Beckerman had a nice match, sitting deep in midfield, but what he was starting, other guys weren't finishing. But he had a very nice match for the U.S.
Yeah, he really did. But let me ask you this, though, Kardik. What is it about subbing in players at the right time, and as soon as they get on the field, they score goals? Eddie Johnson did against El Salvador. 14 seconds in to make it 3-1 U.S., Breck Shea comes in, obviously it's 42 seconds, a little bit later, but it doesn't matter. He converts.
First touch for both those guys. Yeah. First touch for both those guys. I don't know what to say. I think there's a lot of luck involved in that, to be honest with you. But obviously Shea, I think, showed great quality even after that touch, even after that goal that influenced the outcome of this game. The U.S. was also very weak on the left side most of the game, let me point out. And I thought DeMarcus Beasley, his overlaps weren't coming, and Corona wasn't having that much influence on the game either. That was a potential place where Panama was getting a lot of relief defensively. And I think what ended up happening was that when you got Shea on, it changed the way Panama was defending with that back four. So particularly on the right side of Panama's defense, Shea was pushing further up, and that was fantastic for the U.S. It was very, very important to get some relief on the left side. All the attacks are coming up the right side prior to that.
Well, and remember the other great chance that Shea for I believe it was Shea that crossed the ball into Eddie Johnson, whacked over the bar from about 5 yards. Which, I mean, if he converts that, that's the second goal, I believe.
Right.
I think that was the chance. So, you know, yeah, you're right. Shea, I thought, again, you know, acquitted himself pretty well in this match compared to what we've seen in a couple of the matches in this tournament. I'm not sure what it takes to set him off, but it seems like in certain, maybe it's just the big match, it just, he gets inspired to take care of things.
Absolutely, Earl. And you also have to say, I guess Mark's talking to his buddies over at the bar. They're celebrating this Gold Cup championship. But I got to say, though, Earl, and I agree with you.
There's a little bit of consternation here about, I'm not sure, the trophy presentation for, on Fox.
Should be on Fox Soccer. I saw that tweeted by Rob Stone that it should be on Fox Soccer right now. They have they have their replay of Man United on their preseason tour. It's a replay of a game against Osaka, Japan, but they should be cutting to it right now. That's the hope of it, because that's what Rob Stone tweeted, waiting for it to happen. Or maybe they'll stay on Fox. We'll find out. But other than that, and I'll tell everyone, and you can tell everyone at the bar, Kardec, if they are going to stay on Fox or they're going to go to Fox Soccer. I'm assuming they're going to Fox Soccer.
They'll probably put an episode from 3 years ago of Cops or something like that on Fox rather than...
No, here we go. It's on Fox Soccer. Fox Soccer has the post-game show going on, Kardec, so you can tell everyone at the bar you're at that it's on Fox Soccer channel. But,
you can put the Simpsons episode where they make fun of soccer.
Yeah, it could be. I got to say, though, watching the replay again, I'll be honest with you guys, I really thought that ball was going to go in regardless. I didn't think Shea had a touch on it, but he did, and he pounds it in for a second Gold Cup goal, his second game-winning goal in this CONCACAF Gold Cup. Of course, the game-winner against Costa Rica in the final group stage match of Group C, and he does it again today. But once again, Earl, when we take a look at this U.S. team, and obviously, we'll be honest, we know that CONCACAF does not have a lot of quality teams. We all know about what Mexico can do. We always know about the U.S., what they can and can't do. Panama always seems to look good. Costa Rica always seems to look good. Honduras is improving. The Central American countries are some of the Central American countries are improving. The Caribbean nations are always a bit suspect. But overall, throughout this entire Gold Cup, what's your opinion now of where CONCACAF stands?
Oh, gee. I think some of the second and third tier countries may be improving a little bit. Yeah, obviously Mexico taking a hard turn for the worse. And, I mean, it's tough to even rate Mexico because this wasn't even their top team. But, you know, Mexico hasn't been playing particularly well. I think that they're formidable. But I think the other part about it is you're still seeing teams against a team like the U.S. bunker rather than try to have any real attempt to play football. Instead, they try to play anti-football, which I think maybe speaks poorly of some of these countries where, you know, if they play against each other, you might see one or both teams be willing to try to attack a little bit more. Instead, against your top teams, you're still seeing, you know, your Costa Ricas, your Honduras's, your Panama's playing a very defensive tactic rather than, you know, trying to force the play. And I think until maybe these teams are a little bit more willing to, you know, step out and, you know, try to be on the front foot in some of these matches and, you know, try to prove that they belong in that stage, then maybe that's not such a good acquittal of what they've brought to the table. I mean, it's a viable tactic to play defense and to try to hit extra time or penalties, but I also think that speaks something to your quality when you don't feel like you have enough quality to be able to play toe-to-toe, so to speak, with a team like the United States.
Absolutely. Of course, we're seeing some of the highlights now. Kardec, obviously Eddie Johnson was having a bit of a tussle with Paris, and he gets booked for, I guess, starting the little skirmish. And I don't know if that was called for by Eddie Johnson. You usually don't want to see anything like that in a confederational championship or any type of a championship. We all know emotions are running high, and now they're standing at the podium. They're the U.S. and Panama representatives shaking hands with those from CONCACAF and FIFA. It looks like Landon Donovan's getting the MVP trophy or the sharing of the best players in this Gold Cup. But Cardick, you don't want to see any type of negativity in this final. It really was a decent final, if you ask.
From a player discipline standpoint, until those last few minutes, it was a decent final. I mean, I think Bedoya was a little chippy for much of the match. He just looked overmatched today, Alejandro Bedoya, playing out there on the right side for the U.S. But, the Eddie Johnson incident at the end was unfortunate. I think tempers were running high at that point. You're late in the match. Panama wants the ball back. They know they only have a couple more shots. But it was a well-played final from that standpoint. But, again, I mean, I just go back to the fact that I thought from an actual quality of play standpoint, lack of creativity, lack of ideas from the United States, Panama, no desire to really push forward and take the initiative. It created a real stalemate.
Yeah, definitely right. Yep, absolutely. And for Landon Donovan, it's amazing this run by the U.S. in this is the, you know, winning their fifth Gold Cup championship, Donovan winning four Gold Cup championships, including the ones he was with Bruce Arena in those years. This is his first one with Jurgen Klinsmann, and just a fantastic. No one has left Soldier Field. That's how fantastic that this final has been. Everyone stayed. Obviously, American fans are staying, Earl. Panamanian fans are staying. A lot of people filling up Soldier Field. Not a single person has left, maybe on the upper deck, maybe around the corners in the upper deck. But to be honest, it's great to see that this final was filled at Soldier Field, and just a great final of football all the way around.
Yep. I mean, Soldier Field is one of the oldest stadiums in this country, in the realms of the American football, so to speak. But it's great to be able to see a full stadium, full of soccer fans coming out and really rooting on the teams. I think they got treated to a pretty good final. If you were looking for offense, that wasn't to be in this particular match. But, it seemed like everybody was festive. Things got quiet. I think that everybody sensed that there was some potential for some danger if the wrong thing, happened on one of these, set pieces. And Panama got the right break. So, I think there was a general sense of, potential, I don't want to say fear, that's probably a little strong, but, it wasn't the easiest match for a fan to watch. And they got in it once things started to turn around for the U.S. They seemed to be taking a little bit more risks as far as trying more crosses and things like that. And then once Shea came on, that got the goal and, it was great to see that venue filled, and Chicago is a great city, and glad to see that they were able to support this team to a Gold Cup victory.
Absolutely, and Cardick, right now Panama earning their second place medals, members of CONCACAF shaking hands with the second place finishers, Julio Dele Valdez, his brother. Twin brother, I should say, the coaching staff, shaking hands with members of CONCACAF. I will say this about Panama. The future's looking bright for them with the Dele Valde brothers. Even though Julio is the head coach, they basically trust one another. Panama is going to be an up-and-coming national side. We know what individual athletes have done for that country, but for a national team, I think Panama's on the rise, and they have nothing to hang their heads on. They have nothing. They don't have to put their heads down. They have done a great job with this national team side in Panama.
Their national program has been growing and growing. I mean, it was a real disappointment in 2008 when in the qualifying round for CONCACAF, they were eliminated by El Salvador, a real surprise. But they've been building. 2000 Cup, they got to the finals. 2007 Gold Cup, they weren't terrible. And they really felt like going into qualifying for 2010, they could reach the hex. They didn't. Obviously, they didn't reach the semifinal round. So reboot there. But then 2009 Gold Cup, they did pretty well. Did even better in 11. Now have gotten to the final in 13 and have made the hexagonal. So they're building to a point. They're building to a crescendo where I think they are going to be, and they're getting more and more athletes in that country to play football rather than baseball and the other sports, football, of course, I mean soccer. And they're getting a good national program together. A good organization, good support also for the national team. For a long time, the sport was a bastard stepchild in Panama. We can relate to that here in the States. Something
absolutely
very similar. So I think they're getting there. They got a lot of athletic players and programs similar to Honduras. They're probably not going to be at a Costa Rica level of consistency in CONCACAF, but they could be right there with Honduras, fourth or fifth best country. And actually, historically, Honduras has been better in the Gold Cup than Costa Rica, and now Panama has been to two finals. So, good thing for them ahead. And of course, they want to qualify for this World Cup 2010 if they can. They're in fifth currently, but only a few points out of third.
Absolutely, in the United States right now, they're on the line, getting their gold medals, shaking hands with members of CONCACAF. Of course, Sunil Gulati, the president of U.S. Soccer, is going to thank every single player for having such a great final. Clarence Goodson looks like he's holding his daughter. She's wearing his U.S. national team jersey. And, of course, wonderful seeing Oguchi Onyewu, Hercules Gomez, Jack McInerney invited, and Corey Ash, they were invited back to come to the final. Obviously, they had to go back to their club team, so that's why the U.S. has basically switched over, which it was legal to change up the roster a little bit, and they've been invited to be a part of this medal-winning ceremony. And Earl, even for McInerney, I know he didn't play in the match. He didn't get any minutes, but still, though, it's a great gesture to see him get returned to the national team in this Gold Cup, and he's going to get his just rewards.
I think it was a little bit maybe premature for him to you know, for anybody to expect that he'd get on this team as far as, you know, getting run out, but, you know, onto the pitch in any of these matches. But, yeah, I mean, it was a good gesture bringing them all back. I mean, it's tough when you have to make changes like that. You know, part of me had wondered if Breck Shea should have been one of those changes so he could get back to Stoke, where I think he needs to, you know, start working on his ability to get in that first team. But, you know, obviously he played a big part in, you know, this match and a couple of instances. And, so, you know, McInerney has a future. He just has to, you know, keep putting his nose to the grindstone, so to speak. And, you know, if he keeps putting in the goals and developing as a player, I'm sure he'll have more caps for the national team eventually get his first cap. He didn't get one this time around. But maybe in January he'll get another call in during the cupcake round and have a chance to finally get that cap.
Absolutely. In the United States confirmation, they raise the Gold Cup trophy, a brand-new Gold Cup trophy. This isn't some silly little gold-plated bend-arounder into a cup of whatever on a pitiful little wooden plaque, a thin wooden plaque. This is real hardware, a respectable trophy now. It looks absolutely fantastic, Cardick. In the United States, for the fifth time out of nine tries in the final, they have lifted the Confederational Championship of CONCACAF's Gold Cup, a beautiful trophy. And, you know, what can you say? They've done a magnificent job getting to the final, lifting that trophy for the fifth time in the history of for the United States. Kardik? I guess maybe we lost Kardik. Yep, we lost Kardik, but that's okay. We'll get with Earl. Just, you know, very happy to see the U.S. Lifting that trophy and just doing a wonderful thing with it. It's a brand new trophy and everything. It's just a great moment to see it happen.
Yeah, I think it just tops off, you know, this calendar year. I mean, it's been a really successful one for the U.S. and just have to keep keep your fingers crossed that this good play keeps going into World Cup qualifying, complete this cycle and book your ticket for Brazil. And, then you can go ahead and rest a little easy going into 2014 and just know that you've got that ticket punch, so to speak, to down to the South America for a wonderful event, World Cup.
Absolutely. And, of course, right now, Earl, if you really think about it, 6, 9, 10, 11, 11 to 12 now, game 11 to 12 game winning streak for the U.S. right now. They win 3 straight in June in qualifying. They win in the friendly against Germany, so that's 4. The friendly against Guatemala before the Gold Cup, and that's 5. 6 consecutive victories in this Gold Cup. So you have an 11-game winning streak for the U.S., no draws or anything. This is absolutely fantastic to see our national program improving. And for the United States, this is something that we've all been hoping for, we've been waiting for. What does Jurgen Klinsmann do for an encore in a certain way? Obviously, you got to qualify for Brazil. That's one thing. But the thing is, what can this U.S. team do if they do qualify for Brazil?
What can it do? Well, I mean, it all depends on how these players continue to, keep in form. I mean, you know, you're really relying on a number of players who weren't even a part of this particular squad. I mean, you've got your Altidores, your Bradleys, your Dempseys, that Gonzalez and Beasley came in the knockout stage of this, but maybe Timmy Chandler or Fabian Johnson. You got a lot of guys who you want to see continue to be in form, good shape, ready, if a couple of guys go into rough patches or get injured, then that makes if it's Brazil, I mean, that makes Brazil a little bit more difficult. It's nice to see a team here playing well, a team of, let's say reserves or just outside the first team. What can Klinsmann do for an encore? I think, getting qualified, you're most of the way there, but he's got to get them over the line. And then in the World Cup, you've got to see, I think you want to see progress. I think you want to see a team that, you saw a team in the last cycle that beat England and, obviously beat Algeria. But I think both of those matches or they didn't beat England. They drew England. I mean, I think you want to see a team that plays toe-to-toe with some of these better teams. You're most likely going to get drawn in a group with a team that's strong. And can you do that? And can Klinsmann do that? I think he can get this team playing like that. I think he has. So I think that's where this team needs to go is to maybe win your group again. I mean, that would be another a good goal for 2014. If that's what you're looking for, is sort of the long-term goal heading to Brazil. I mean, win your group and then have a decent run in the. I mean, obviously the goal is to win, but I think the U.S. still is a few years away from that for sure. But you get on a hot run and you never know. I mean, Altidore has played well. you know, well, I guess we'll just have to see. But I think you need to set some realistic goals and get, you know, winning the group again would be awesome if you get to Brazil. So those are the types of things I think Klinsmann can look to try to deliver here, get qualified, and you know, and I think him and his the system he's brought in have done wonders in developing, beginning to develop the next generation. And so that's another thing that you've got to start seeing is the youth teams progress throughout the years here as we go forward into 2014, 2015, 2016 to see that next generation, because obviously this is going to probably be the last cycle for Donovan as, you know, in the World Cup, in the international team. So, you know, the next steps from there, that's where, you know, that's Klinsmann's proof, I guess.
Absolutely. As we discuss this roster right now, obviously we have said it really looks like Landon Donovan is going to go back into qualifying with these last four games in September and October. Who else on this roster do you think could be joining him as probably coming off the bench? But at the same time, who do you think could be in the qualifying cycle for Russia? That, I think, is probably the bigger question right now. We know Beasley's going to be in there for 2014. He's going to finish it off. Donovan, obviously. But what about players like, let's just say, I would have to say maybe Joe Corona, Alejandro Bedoya. I don't know about Clarence Goodson, to be honest with you. I mean, I think he was okay, but I don't think he's going to be strong enough. I don't think he has enough quality to unseat Omar Gonzalez.
So are you talking 2014 or 2018?
I'm talking actually a little bit of both, but we'll go with 2014 for Clarence Goodson. I don't think he has enough to unseat either Beasley or Gonzalez.
Nah, but I do think he has probably the inside shot to be that first alternate, so to speak, if either mm-hmm. of those guys get injured or begin to show poor form. I think Goodson would be that first guy that gets called to be brought in. Obviously, you have Orozco Fiscal also, who I think would be another guy. You know, maybe Bocanegra if he shows any kind of you know, form at Chivas, which I think is going to be difficult to do because that team is a tire fire. But you know, I think Mix Discarude has shown you know, that he is ready probably for that step up to be called in on a regular basis. I would imagine he'll get called in for the Bosnia friendly. And, you know, since that's going to be over in Europe and it's a short hop for him, I believe he's playing is he still in Norway? He must still be in Norway. And so, you know, I think he's made some real strides to prove that he fits into the mold that, you know, Klinsmann wants. I'm not sure if he's going to be a guy that starts, but I think he could be a guy who would be a substitute for, say, a Jermaine Jones or something like that. So as far as 2018, I think a few of these guys have a chance at that, but I think, you know, a few of the starters. Eddie Johnson's obviously old, probably going to be too old for that particular cycle. You know, Corona, I think he had a pretty decent tournament, but I think today he struggled in this type of environment where he mm-hmm. had to try to create with, you know, a staunch defense trying to, you know, thwart the attacks. Bedoya is a guy who is just sort of a workhorse. I didn't see a ton of, but I mean, we saw quality with him in the Honduras match, a couple of nice assists there, if I recall, or at least or maybe a goal and assist. But, you know, I don't think he probably won't get called in. I think there are better choices there, especially you think Graham Susi didn't get called out for this tournament. you know, he's going to be that guy on the right. So you got him and Donovan, and, you know, didn't see Kluschen. I think he's a guy that might also get called. So, you know, I think it's going to be tough for Bedoya. He had a decent tournament. Obviously, Holden, you really hope that this injury is mild and maybe just needs a couple weeks of rest to to get it back. You hope it isn't anything more. They get in there with an MRI and don't see anything worse than just the sprain that they're calling it. Because, I mean, if that's the case, that's, you know, completely devastating. It's the last thing you wanted to see from a guy like Holden. I got into a slight back and forth with somebody on Twitter. I still don't feel like it may have been the wisest choice to bring Holden out after playing 90 on, you know, Wednesday to put him out there in the starting lineup. But, you know, that's sort of a hindsight is 2020 judgment. So
I was about to say, thankfully for Stuart Holden, it's a bruised knee. It's nothing serious. He was able to walk off going back into the locker room after he got hurt and subbed in, because we saw that he got tackled on the left knee, but it was the right knee that he got hurt on, and wasn't touched at all by a Panamanian defender. Stepped wrong, and he just went down. And you're right, Earl. Look, hindsight is 2020, but let's be honest. I think, you know, as much as he tried to push Holden, it's a good push. Unfortunately, it took him out of the game, but still, you know, it's nothing serious.
As a guy who watched Jim Kelly for years, who had knee problems over the years, you know, he would always, stay down a little bit longer if he got hit on that knee. It's like, I think that anybody who gets Thurman Thomas, another one who had his, I believe it was his anterior cruciate ligament completely removed when he was at Oklahoma State. Anytime you get in these kinds of serious knee injuries, you know, you feel any kind of twinge, and I'm sure you're, you know, you want to take the greatest caution possible. So it's great to hear that they're saying it's a bruise. I hope that's the extent of it and that he can, get back to it. You know, Bolton's going to be starting their season up here in a few weeks, and hopefully he's back in form to be able to help them try to get promoted. They need to get back to that first division. Who knows? Maybe, yep. I don't know. I haven't heard if there are any transfer rumors with him or not. I guess he's been out so long, he's, you know, teams are going to want to see him prove that he's healthy. So,
yep, absolutely. And once again, everyone, the United States, they defeat Panama by a final of 1-0. Excuse me. Sorry about that. Breck Shea, 42 seconds after being subbed in, converts on a Michael Parkhurst cross that was meant for Landon Donovan. It was a swing and a miss. And then all of a sudden, Breck Shea, even though he probably didn't have to touch it, he did. And he puts it in for his second goal of the Gold Cup tournament, his second game-winning goal, and he brings home the trophy, the hardware, to the U.S. Soccer Federation as the USA wins their fifth confederational championship in 9 tries. Once again, with Earl Reed, I'm Daniel Feuerstein, and Earl, we have plenty of time here, and, we talk about these players that are probably going to be on the current squads for World Cup qualifying. And once again, we'll get that back underway on Friday, September the 6th. The United States will be at the National Stadium in San Jose in Costa Rica. And on Tuesday, the U.S. and Mexico meet up again on September the 10th over at Columbus Crew Stadium. And then they finish it up in October, as the U.S. will host Jamaica at Sporting Park in Kansas City, Kansas, on the 11th. And then on the 16th, the U.S. will finish up their qualifying down in Panama on the 16th, depending on what the hexagonal standings will be. And looking at the table, once again, Earl, the United States is at top with 13. Costa Rica is in second with 11. Mexico is in third with 8, but they are a point ahead of Honduras, who's in the fourth position for the international playoff, fifth place, 2 points ahead of Panama with 6, Jamaica with 2 points only. And even though there's mathematical still alive, we all know Jamaica is dead and buried. But this is going to be a crucial time for Mexico, because they should not be anywhere in the third position nor in the playoff position in fourth. This is going to get hairy for El Tri, and I still think – I mean, the U.S. and Costa Rica are the only two teams right now that are in double digits in points.
Yeah, I mean, Mexico is under – you know, they're under an enormous amount of pressure at this point, as far as – you know, and maybe it's – undue pressure. You know, they may, you know, pull through just fine, but, you know, their fans obviously have come to expect being pretty much, I mean, I think they expect, you know, the top of the Confederation. And so not even being in the second position, that puts Cepo Della Torre, assuming he remains as coach, and the whole team under a lot of pressure that they must deliver. And to have their next qualifying match be at the Azteca, that in itself is going to be a bit of a pressure cooker for them. I believe you said that was against Honduras. And, you know, Honduras is a tricky game. Obviously, they have some players. Assume Benson might be back. Obviously, Roger Espinosa is a guy who just, you know, runs all day and has a lot of quality. You know, I think they're a team that you can get burned against if you don't watch it. And so, you know, they're going to be under pressure. But again, like I was saying in the pregame, you have to expect that Mexico, you have to think Mexico is going to snap out of it. Maybe it will be a coaching change. I mean, that could do it. One of the things that I wish I could remember who said it. The Mexico looked like it was a lot of singular parts, at least in this tournament. And sometimes I thought that in the team itself, in the A team that was trying to qualify, a bit individualistic. You have a lot of guys like Chicharito, who plays in the Premier League for Manchester United, and you know, you need somebody who's going to be able to bring them together and unite towards a common goal. And so maybe that's not Della Torre at this point. Maybe he's already lost them, so to speak. So, I mean, it's important. The first match coming out is going to be very important, because if they can't get the 3 points against Honduras at home, then severe doubts could creep in, and then you've got, like you said, the United States at Columbus, which has always been difficult for Mexico.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I like I've said to you many times, I've told this to Kardec, I've told this to a lot of people, I keep looking at the standings in CONCACAF in the hexagonal round. I keep looking at this schedule in CONCACAF and how it's all shaping up. And the way that certain teams are playing right now, and granted, Honduras didn't do well against certain teams, but I just have a funny feeling that the way that the Dele Valde brothers are doing so well for Panama, and the confidence they're giving their players, and the way that the Honduras national team is also gaining some confidence, also looking strong. I mean, they have great players, like we've talked about, just like Roger Espinosa, Benson, and Palacios, and everyone else, and the way that Mexico is faltering, you're right. They probably will snap out of it. Maybe if they do fire Della Torre and they'll change things up, maybe it'll get better. But let's just say it doesn't. And let's say that Honduras comes out with a win in the Azteca, Panama, let's be honest, whoever faces Jamaica in their schedule should take 3 points away from them, either at the office or if Jamaica comes to them on the road on their schedule. I don't see Jamaica getting out of the group, moving up. I see Honduras and Panama. If Mexico doesn't change things up quickly, I could see Mexico being on the outside looking in.
I mean, you know, anything's a possibility. And I even think that even if you keep Chepo, there's a chance that things turn around. You remember last year we were a little down on Klinsmann, and now all of a sudden the U.S. can't seem to lose. So, you know, you said a big word there, confidence, or, you know, an important word. And that's something where, you know, you thought maybe that match against Japan in the Confederations Cup could have given them confidence, and maybe it did, but you don't know, because this team that played in the Gold Cup, very few of them went from Brazil in the Confederations Cup to Los Angeles to play in the first match against Panama. I think, you know, if you could start to get, you know, if they can, I mean, and granted, you could say, well, Mexico had a result in the office against Jamaica to start June. You know, maybe that was the place where they could have gained confidence. I don't know. Sometimes you just need a performance that just comes out of nowhere, and you get three or four goals. And I think that's what the U.S. may have gotten in that Germany match you were talking about earlier that started this run, where now they've gone 11 matches without a loss. You know, maybe that's what Mexico needs. Maybe at the Azteca, they find a way to dominate Honduras. And, you know, that's the type of thing. Yeah, but Honduras isn't the team that you'd think that happened against. Like you said, if it were Jamaica, if it were maybe Panama, but even now Panama, you've seen, you know, they beat Mexico twice in this tournament. So, you know, Panama has a little chip on their shoulder now. You know, they're a little, you know, chip on their shoulder, but a little, you know, confidence, thinking they can maybe beat Mexico more. So I don't know. You may be right. Maybe this has just completely put Mexico in a kilter, you know, off kilter, and they're, you know, spiraling to the point where they miss out, which, I mean, that would be pretty earth-shattering, I think, for them. I think that would really call into question what they're doing and how things are, you know, you'd have to seriously look at what went wrong if they were to miss out. And, you know, whether that's, you know, lack of harmony within the first squad, whether that's just poor tactics, you know, whether it's development in general, I don't know. That's something that, you know, the FMF would have to look at, you know, if that happened. But I think it's a little bit early for that. Again, they're in third place right now. And if they get a couple results in these final four matches, I'm pretty sure they're going to be in. So, you know, I kind of expect that's going to happen. Just I think they have too much quality running through that team to, you know, not, you know, they just need someone who can figure this out. And whether that's Chepo, whether it's not, it's got to step up. It's getting to crunch time here.
It really is. And I was talking with John Jagu from Big Soccer, who covers the FMF and the national team and the Mexican Primera Division, as well as I talked with Eric Gomez from Goal.com, who also writes for ESPN FC and covers Mexico as well. There's a lot of uncertainty right now in, you know, south of the border. And at the moment, the TV stations down in Mexico, they sometimes have a say in broadcasting the World Cup, because if De La Torre is going to continue to be there, they, you know, and he doesn't get them to at least qualify for the third spot, the automatic spot, or get into the playoff, which is the fourth spot, you know, if that doesn't happen, there's going to be a lot of disappointed people south of the border, and maybe they don't even watch the World Cup in Mexico.
Right. Well, and I wrote an article on Simply Football earlier this week. I think it was actually Friday. It's like, you know, let's look back 2 years ago. You know, I don't know how close this is to the two-year point of the last Gold Cup tournament. But, you know, you had, you know, the U.S. bombing out, going up 2-0 and then falling on four consecutive goals by Mexico. You know, I caught the first match of the Clinton era up in Philadelphia when they played Mexico to a draw at Lincoln Financial Field. And, you know, but then you also had then the next, you know, qualifying cycle begin for the, I believe it's the third round.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was the third round that, you know, and you had matches against, I'm trying to think, it was Guatemala and
yep.
I think Jamaica. Mm-hmm. On the road, and we had our misgivings, and I think there, you know, we had spent time talking about, you know, is Klinsmann the right guy? You know, is Klinsmann going to be able to make it out of 2012? You know, and all of a sudden now you've got a team that's won 11, has a, you know, held up the Gold Cup this afternoon, and, you know, so this type of doldrums that Mexico is in, it can turn around. And I don't know exactly what did the trick. I mean, we've talked about it. Maybe it was that Azteca result for the U.S. maybe that actually kind of flipped the switch for both teams. I don't think Mexico has been the same since that, and the U.S. hasn't been the same since that. amazing that, you know, we talked about it at the time as a friendly, and, you know, the U.S. got the result and it didn't mean anything, or it might have meant something, but, you know, did it really mean anything? And I think you look at it now, and it may very well have. You know, it's given the U.S. a ton of confidence, and Mexico is floundering and, you know, really needs to get their act together quickly.
Exactly, because, I mean, their under-17s win the World Cup that they host. Their Olympic side wins gold medal in London last summer. And
yeah, that was right before
like,
that.
Yeah, it was right before the friendly against the U.S. where Michael Orozco-Fiscal puts in the you know, that goal to get the first ever win at the Azteca. And Jurgen Klinsmann right now is, I would say, the only head coach visiting the Azteca to get
had,
consecutive results.
And who had a big part in that goal for Orozco-Fiscal?
Oh, yes. Rex Shea.
Remember? Yes.
Uh-huh. Rex Shea.
I put on Twitter during the match right after he scored. I said, Shea only contributes in meaningful matches. It's like, if the match is, you know, against Cuba and against, was it Honduras? He didn't have the greatest of times out there, but it's like when the match has some importance, you know, like that Costa Rica match where, you know, U.S. wanted to get first place, you know, he has, you know, comes out of nowhere to get that pass from Donovan. And then in this match, it's tough to say. Parkhurst, I think his cross for Donovan actually would have made the net, would have come inside the far post. But still, I mean, this is something that it's in Shea's mind. You know, he's going after it, and, you know, good for him. I hope he gets confidence from this tournament, even though he's been heavily criticized for a couple of performances. He also, I think, had some redeeming value in the end, and I think he fills a role that is always a role that is a little troublesome for the U.S., which is a left-footed player who can play in the midfield or even in the advanced midfield. That's what Shea provides, and hopefully if he works himself into the Stoke City first team, he can begin to hone that down and really maybe develop into a guy who can, you know, contribute come Brazil in next year. You know, if the cards roll right, I mean, that's what you would hope. You'd love to have a functional left side and a functional right side.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, of course, this is the Gold Cup that gives these players that Jurgen Klinsmann picked, of course, some that are already on these World Cup qualifying rosters and some that are not, but they're given an opportunity to see what's going to happen. If they are going to make this current roster or these current squads for September and October, at the same time, who will be a first alternate going to Brazil next summer? It's going to be interesting. It's going to be fun. Go ahead.
Can I toss one other thing in there? I really hope that if Stoke City cannot get him in the first team, that they somehow work out a loan of some sort within the league system for Shea so that he can get somewhere where he can get some first-team action and try to get his legs under him over on in Europe, try to work himself into shape so that, if managers can be fickle and, you know, maybe Shea isn't at the place where he can contribute to Stoke or isn't the best player on the left, but he really needs reps. So I'm hoping that one way or the other, he gets on a first team somewhere in England this fall.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully Mark Hughes, if he isn't going to use him, can get him somewhere where he can prove himself.
Absolutely. Well, I want to thank my guests, Carter Krishnire, Earl Reed. It's going to be a very interesting rest of the year in 2013. The U.S. should be able to qualify. We'll get to you on those qualifying games into September and October. Thank you, Earl, for joining me. Enjoy the rest of your
You're
Sunday.
Welcome.
And this has been the end of the 2013 Gold Cup postgame shows here on the 40 Seas Fire Internet Soccer Show. Once again, thank you to Carter Krishnire. Thank you to Earl Reed. Thank you to Lisa Erickson. Thank you to Robert Hay Jr. for joining me in this Gold Cup postgame shows. Of course, the pregame shows as well. Enjoy your football, everyone. I'll talk to you on Tuesday, NASL Fall Season Preview Show, as well as Ian Thompson, the Soccer Observer. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday, everybody. Have a good night. The USA wins their fifth Gold Cup championship by a final of 1-0 against Panama. Enjoy your weekend, everybody.